Hallelujah. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Acts, the 13th chapter, the book of Acts in the 13th chapter, I want to talk to you this morning about start to finish. Start to finish. How many know that you have to start something to finish something? Right? And in fact, there are some folks who say, you know, if you're going to work out, the hardest step is the first one. I'm not sure that's true, but there is some truth in that. If you're going to finish something, you have to start something. And so the Apostle Paul did this in his life. But let's just look at it in chapter 13, verse 1 of Acts. It says, "Now there in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets, teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manon, Manon, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' And then when they had fasted, they prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away." So this was the official launching of the Apostle Paul's ministry. Now this is when he got saved, and he'd already been preaching. In fact, he got in trouble preaching. But this was the start of his ministry. And again, for all of us, we've started, but we've got to stay strong in the finish, right? It doesn't matter how long you've been there. It doesn't matter how, you know, what's in between. There's a lot, the start and the finish, and there's a lot of stuff that goes on in between, right? Think about that start and finish. If you think about your natural start, it's when you were born. And your natural finish is when you die, right? There's a lot of stuff that happens in the middle. But we want our finish to be as strong as our start. Hello? Right? You go to school and you start out in first grade and then you graduate, you know, from high school or from college or whatever. There's a lot of stuff that happens in the middle, but you've got to concentrate on the finish sometimes to stay motivated in the mundane of what you're doing, right? But we have to run our race, each one of us individually. Look at the 23rd chapter of Acts and look at this, because it's kind of interesting. And just to tell you where he's at, Paul is finally back in Jerusalem, and he was accused of people for preaching the wrong message, and he was being persecuted, and the religious folks had him up, and they were questioning him. But look at verse 1. It says, "Then when Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, 'Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God till this day.'" This was kind of the beginning of the end of Paul's ministry, because he went from here and then he went to Rome, and he was in Rome for a few years before he was killed. But he said, "Listen, I've lived in good conscience before the Lord." Now Watts, I think this is so interesting. How many know Paul wasn't perfect? Come on. St. Paul, he had to be perfect. He never... And how many know that Paul had some troubles? Come on, he had some struggles, right? And he talks about them. He's pretty obvious and candid about them. But the reality is that we're all in the same position. In other words, we're going to start at some point what God told us to do. We're going to live through life doing what He told us to do, but at some point we've got to be able to say at the end of the day, "I have lived before God with all good conscience." Now I just want to stop there for a minute and say that if you're looking at this, you might be going, "Yeah, but man, I've really messed up." Well, join the club. Everybody has. Paul did. Everybody does. Well, how could he say this? Because he'd repented of everything that he did wrong. And the Bible says that the blood of Jesus is able to cleanse us and even cleanse our minds of everything that we've done wrong. Isn't that good? There's no more shame. There's no more guilt. So if we live in the guilt of the past, we will not finish strong. because we'll be tied down with the weight of what could have been, what should have been. So you can't live there. You can't go there. You got to allow God to begin to cleanse you of that burden of the past. Glory to God. I believe God wants us to finish strong. I believe God wants us to, it doesn't matter what stage we're at in our growth, God wants us to be strong in it. And the way that we do that is remembering everything that Jesus did for us. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Glory to God. I like this. Timothy was kind of like Paul's son in the faith. That's what he called him, my son in the faith. And that's kind of interesting because you oftentimes share more intimate details with sons. You know, somebody that's coming up behind you that you want to say, well, this is how it was for me, and this is what I want you to do. And sometimes you're even stronger with them from the standpoint of, listen, boy, you got to get up, you got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and you got to get going, right? He said to Timothy, he said, man, don't let timidity keep you from doing what God's called you to do. Don't let people keep you from doing what God's called you to do. Stick with it. But look down here in verse 6. He says, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering at the time of my departure is at hand. So he's closer to the finish here because he's in prison in Rome. But he's saying, my time of departure is at hand. I've already been poured out like a drink offering. Now watch, he's not feeling sorry for himself like a lot of us would be. Hello? I've gone through this and I've gone through that and you don't understand how tough my life is. Listen, it doesn't matter from the standpoint of I've still got a race to run. I've still got a fight to fight. As long as I'm breathing, as long as I'm in this body, as long as I've started something when I got saved and then when God called me to do something, I still got a race to run, but I've got to stay in the fight. Come on, I can't quit. Look at verse 7. I have fought the good fight, and I've finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but to all who have loved his appearing. Come on. Are you looking forward to the time that he comes? Are you looking forward to the time that you're going to be with him? Right? We can't live our lives from the standpoint of a practical thing, from having ourselves always in heaven. I'm just looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to that. I'm just going to stay here and pray and do whatever. God's got a mission for you. He's got a commission for you. And you've got to be about your Father's business. But at the same time, our eyes need to be on the prize, right? We need to be pressing on toward that prize. We, in the midst of our getting from the start to the finish, we cannot let go of what God has put on the inside of us. Glory to God. Your gifting is different from my gifting, right? Your call is different from my call. But in Ephesians chapter 4, it says that we're all called. What does that mean? God has a purpose for you. Now, it may not be in ministry as we define ministry, but listen to me. What is ministry? It's servanthood. That's all it is. It's not a title. It's being a servant, just as Jesus was a servant. He displayed that. He told his disciples how to do this. Now think about this. The Son of God, the Son of Man, is sitting at dinner, and he says, before we eat, I'm going to wash your feet. Jesus comes to you. And he says, just a second, I want to wash your feet. And Peter had the reaction that I think most of us would have. I don't think so. I don't think I got a hangnail. I don't want you to see it. I got fuzz in between my toes. I don't want you seeing any of that. He said, but Jesus said, listen, if I don't wash your feet, then you'll have no part of me. And then Peter said, well, don't stop at the feet. Do it all, right? But then Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, if you want to be great in my kingdom, then you learn to be servants of all. And so our life is full and filled with servanthood. Servanthood is not fun all the time. If you're a servant, sometimes it gets messy. If you're a servant, sometimes people don't appreciate you. Right? But that's not our motivation for doing it. Our motivation for doing it is that God called us to do it. Hello? I want my conscience to be clear. I want, at the end of the day, for me to be able to say, I fought the good fight. I've run my race. God, I thank you. I thank you, first of all, that you graced me with gifts. Secondly, I thank you, God, that you gave me life in the midst of my life. You came and you breathed your life into me. And isn't it interesting that Jesus is the author, and watch this, he's the finisher of our faith. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And again, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to keep our eyes on Jesus. How many have gone through stuff, right? We've all gone through stuff. And we could get up here and testify and have a judging contest whose stuff is worse than other stuff. But the stuff doesn't matter as much as we're still in the fight. We're still continuing to do what God's called us to do. God, help me to become the servant that you want me to be. Help me, God, to continue to fight the good fight. I want to finish strong, but I also want to finish what you've given me, what you've started in me, God. Every day I think it's like, Lord, first of all, I just want to thank you and praise you and honor you that you love me. I want to thank you, God, that you're for me. I want to thank you, God, that you're with me and your love for me. But second of all, it's like, Lord, who can I serve for you? Or in other words, Lord, who is it today that you're putting before my path that I can make an eternal difference in their lives? And sometimes it doesn't have to be with words. Sometimes it's just acts of service. Sometimes it's giving. You know, sometimes it's just being the good administrator. But the point is God, I'm going to finish strong. I'm going to fight until the end. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. It doesn't matter what other people do. It doesn't matter what's been done to me. I've decided that I love Jesus, and Jesus, I'm going to serve you no matter what. Come on. We've started something, but are we going to finish something? And does it matter how we finish? Come on. How many have, you know, you're thinking about your life and you think, man, I'm not where I thought I'd be. Right? I thought things would be different. Or you know, all of those things. But you know what? You can't change anything in the past. Right? Look at... women are more skilled at this than men. But you cannot drive forward looking in the rearview mirror very well for very long. Now, women, they can put makeup on and all that while they're driving. They're more skilled at it than men are. But the reality is, if you're looking in the rearview mirror, sooner than later, you'll probably wreck the car. Right? And our life is like that. If we stay bogged down by what the could have, should have, would have been, then we're not going to be able to press forward because we're looking behind us. And Paul said it this way in Philippians. He said, forgetting those things that are behind, I press forward toward the mark of the high calling of Jesus. So I can't be bogged down by what I could have done, what I should have done, that will keep me from finishing strong going forward. And I want to finish strong. I want to finish what God has called me to. Come on. And we're going to do that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. God is so good. He's so for us. We've got to have the finisher's mentality. Let me say that again. We've got to have the finisher's mentality. I said first, I meant second. Go to second. No, I was right the first time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 1. It says, finally, brethren, we urge and exhort you in the Lord Jesus Christ that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. I want you to know, brethren, that we urge you and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more. I believe as we walk with God, our influence should be greater and greater. Now, what I mean by that is not that your name will be greater and greater in your life. Right? Okay, man, my ministry, I've done this and I've done that and I've done that. Well, great, great, that's awesome. But the reality is it's Him and the influence that you're having for Him that should be more and more. And I believe, too, that if you'll concentrate and every day say, God, what would you have me do today? He'll show you. And if you do that, you'll be blessed and you'll finish strong. Years ago, I don't know if I read this somewhere, I came up with it. So I'm not going to give anybody else credit. I'm going to take all the credit for it. But if you want to be a success and you want to know what success in Christ is, it's hear and obey. That's it. That's it. If you'll hear and obey today, right, then you'll be a success. Because the steps will get you there. It's kind of like going back to school. It's like, I want to become this. I want to get this degree. Well, you start out and you go, man, I don't even know how I'm going to get to the end. That's so daunting to get way to the end. But if you'll just take the first class, and then you'll take the second class, and if you take the third class, it'll build up and it'll build up and it'll build up, and finally you'll receive the prize. So our walk with God is simply hear and obey. Hear what? Well, first hear the Word. And that's what Paul is exhorting them to do. He said, man, I've already talked to you about Jesus. I've already talked to you about the things, but I'm going to remind you, because a reminder is always good. Glory to God. Isn't it interesting in school, if you were in math, the first couple of weeks or even a month or two, they refresh you from what you learned last year so that they could bring you up to date before you could move on. Right? If we want to walk with God, it's good for us to remind ourselves what God has said and what He's told us before, and visit the vision, and then just tell God, you're the author and the finisher of my faith. God, I'm just going to continue to walk with you because I want to finish strong. Verse 2, it says, for you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. It's like, how many have read the Bible at all? Okay, there's two people that have read the Bible. Okay, let's get back to the basics then. No. I know that we've all read the Bible. Well, the Bible's the will of God. Thank you for your enthusiasm. The Bible is the will of God. If you want to know what the will of God is, read the book. And if God's addressed the subject in the book, then that's the answer. If you want to finish strong, follow the book. Is that tough? No, it's the directions. But we want to make addendum to the book. How many have ever said, I know a shortcut? Or had somebody else, I know a shortcut. The GPS is saying go here, but I know a shortcut. And 3 hours later, right? 3 hours later, you get to the destination. See, there are no shortcuts. If we'll stick with the Word, if we'll stick with what God has told us to do, we'll know that we're walking in His will. Are you with me? Because His will for you is good. His will for you is excellent. Let's go through some of the stuff that He talks about that we should know, but it should not be a question for us. It shouldn't be an area of compromise for us. Again, let's read that again. Verse 3, for this is the will of God for your sanctification, or you being set apart, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. You know what that means? You're responsible for you. You are responsible for you. You know, when you get, and I wish this was true because it'd make it a little better, but when you get to heaven and God's talking to you and He brings something up, you are not going to get away with, yeah, but so-and-so did such and such, and that made me do this and that, and God is going to, I don't think so, right? And God is going to be a lot like my mother. Because my mother, whenever I'd go to her, well, Jimmy's dad lets him do such and such. My mom was, well, I'm not Jimmy's dad. Right? And so we need to grow in the Word of God. We need to be constantly feeding on the Word of God because we want to finish strong. Glory to God. How many know, and I've said this many times before, but in John chapter 1 it says, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the book that you're holding or on your iPad or wherever you're looking at it, that is God. Man, I just want to go to a meeting where I feel the presence of God. I just need to be in His presence. I love those meetings. And I love the presence of God. I love when He comes down and you just sense His presence. But the reality is when you wake up in the morning, if you'll open this book, you're in His presence. You may not feel it, but who cares? Right? You're in His presence. And then when you go a step further and you honor His Word by saying, Lord, if you said it, that settles it. Come on. And you tell your body where your mind is, you know, housed. You say, listen, mind, body, we're going to apply ourselves to this right here. This is it right here. And we're not going to compromise this. Let's go on. Verse 5 says, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage or defraud his brother in this manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all such. And we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanliness, but in holiness. Whew, that's not very popular, but it's okay. It's the truth. God's called us to be holy. He said this, He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And in saying that, if you'll stick with Him, if you'll walk with Him, His holiness you'll absorb because you're with Him. Do you know that there's a saying that goes around, I think it's pretty good, that you are with who you hang? If you're around a bunch of negative people, you're going to be negative. If you're around a bunch of worldly people, you're going to become worldly. But if you hang around God, you're going to be godly. You're going to think right. You're going to act right. You're going to do right. Well, I know, but I need to get to a meeting. Meetings are great, but you don't have to go anywhere to be with God. Come on. You can be in your car. You can be in your house. You can be in your bed. And you pick up the Bible. And not only that, if you just say, Holy Spirit, you said that you'd come and dwell with me and in me because I am now the temple of the Holy Spirit. See, what I'm trying to paint for you is a picture of how to stay strong on a daily basis, because you'll finish what you started if every day you pursue the one who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Glory to God. Verse 8 says, therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us the Holy Spirit. Come on. Right? If people want to argue with you about the Bible, don't argue. Don't take it personal, because it's not against you, it's against them. And I know we have all kinds of disagreements on the Bible by good, honest people, but the reality is, if the world doesn't accept your lifestyle because you're living according to the Bible, don't sweat it, but stay with it. If you want to finish strong, stay with it. If it becomes unpopular, stay with it. Again, Paul, when he wrote, I've lived my life out with a clear conscience. He was speaking to men that he was a part of before he got kicked off the donkey on the road to Damascus, because he was there on their bidding, persecuting the church. So I got to let you know that with all good conscience, I've served, I've lived before the Lord. That's what my goal is, and I know that's what your goal is. But in order to do that, we need to stay with Him and stay in the Word. Glory to God. And the Holy Spirit's with us. Verse 9. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Really, it's true. It's true. This is the answer to a lot of our things that are going on in our country, maybe even in our homes. Lord, I know that I'm supposed to love one another affectionately with their concern at heart. God, just help me with that. Help me to love you, God, and to love others. And indeed, you are so, verse 10, and indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. In other words, you're doing a good job. You're doing a good job, but do more. Do more. Do more. I like this. Again, I watch sometimes the show Orange County Chopper. And it's kind of a weird show, but I like motorcycles. So anyway, but the old man's talking to his son. And he says, son, man, I know you're doing the best you can, but do better. But do better. In other words, what he's saying is that you're doing what you think is your best, but there's better in you. There's better in you. Come on. Do you love Jesus? Has Jesus used you to love other people? Well, there's more. You just got to find out more of His love, and then you can display it to other people. Glory to God. And sometimes that's not always comfortable. It's not always easy, but it's what He wants from us. Glory to God. Listen to this in verse 11, that you aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands as we command you. Come on. I just got to say this and we'll move on. But I think that we're responsible for our own peace. But let me say that again. I think that we're all responsible for our own peace. And if we're living in turmoil, it's because, like the verse said that we quoted together, we're not thinking on the right things. And we're not putting God first. And we're not loving others. But you can get to the place where you refuse strife. You're refusing. In other words, I'm not going to be a part of it. But if you're going to do that, you're going to have to give up gossip. Thank you for your enthusiasm. You're going to have to give up certain things that might be juicy to the taste, right? But I refuse to go there. Why? Because it's stealing my peace. Do you know the Bible says that where there is strife, there's every evil work, right? And so if we're allowing things to come into our lives and into our mind that are not peaceful, if not bringing peace, then it's an open doorway. Yeah, you say, well, that's easy for you to say, Pastor, but you don't know who I live with. You don't know who I'm around. You don't know who my boss is. You don't know who I work with. I'm telling you, there's a place in God, if you'll put Him first, where none of those can affect what God's put inside of you. Amen. But you've got to guard it. You've got to stand against it. You say, oh no, devil, I'm not fighting against flesh and blood here, but I know that you're trying to steal my peace, and I refuse it because my peace is in Jesus. Right? My peace is in Him, the one who started this race and the one who's finished this race. So I'm looking toward Jesus. Come on. I'm looking to Him. Woo, glory to God. Let's go to verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, does anybody in here believe that? Come on. Do you really believe that? Ooh, glory to God. Even so, God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. Right? All of us, it's a human quality that we all have, that none of us have died, so we don't know what death is like. And so there can be a fear about death. In fact, we spend millions of dollars trying to live longer. And I'm going to live as long as I can because I want to finish my course. But I'm not afraid of dying. Why? Because I've already read the book. Paul said it this way, to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. So I'm not going to allow that to be a motivator in my life to keep me from doing what God's called me to do. I'm going to live it the best way I can. And at the end of the day, when I pass from this earth, however that happens, I'm going to be with Him. Look at this. All of the people who died in your life, and it's who knew Jesus, are with Him. Are with Him. Come on, they're with Him. So why, if we're grieving for them, we're really not grieving for them because they don't need our grief. Right? They aren't up in heaven going, oh, poor thing. Poor me. I'm in heaven and they're on earth. No, man, they're with Jesus. They're with Jesus. And watch this. It's so different. Because we've lost some people. Like my parents, they've been gone for over 25 years now. And I'm thinking, oh man, it's been a long time. I sure miss them. And I do. But the reality is, when I get to heaven, for them, it's just going to be a few seconds. Right? Well, hey, Bruce, how you doing, man? It's good to see you. But it's for them, because a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. Do the math. It hasn't been that long. So you got to take peace in that and comfort in that. Glory to God. Verse 16. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise, and then we who are alive will remain, will be caught up together with Him in the clouds, and meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So I want to finish strong, right? I want to start strong. I want to be strong, right? But at the same time, I want to know that I know that I know, and continue that in my knower, that this world is not my home. I'm just passing through here. But God is with me right now. God is going to be with me tomorrow. I'm going to be with Him because I choose Him. And no matter how I feel, no matter what happens to me or around me, I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus. I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus. Because He's with me. He's for me. He's not against me. Come on. Nothing can separate me from His love. Isn't that an interesting verse? Nothing shall separate you from the love of God. You know, nothing includes you. Right? Yeah, but I messed up. Yeah, but you can't be separated. Yeah, but you don't know what I did. I'm sorry, but if you've asked for forgiveness, it's under the blood. And as far as God is, it's from the east of the west. I don't remember it anymore, right? In other words, I'm not going to hold you accountable to the things that my blood has already purchased for you. Glory to God. But our motivation in life must be that, God, I want to live for you. I started with you. Come on. Everybody in here should remember the day that they got saved, right? That you gave your heart to the Lord. Some people, it happened when they were 3. Me, not until I was in my 20s, but I remember the day. But I also am looking forward to the day. Come on. Whether He comes back and takes me away from here, you know, in whatever your view of the rapture is, it does, He's coming. Here's my view of the rapture. He's coming, I'm going. that's, you know, pretty much, I have theological bents, but the reality is He's coming, I'm going. But between now and then, I want to live like it could be today. I want to live like it could be next hour. And if we live like that, then we'll finish strong. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Y'all get something this morning? Hallelujah. 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 Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for Your Word. We're grateful for Your goodness. We're grateful for Your mercy. And Lord, I know that there are some who are listening to this message, whether they're here in the building or whether they're in their homes or wherever they are, Lord, I know that they needed to hear this morning. Because God, You're not finished with any of us. You've got a plan for us to remain strong, to continue to fight the good fight of faith. Lord, we want to all be like the apostle when he says, I've fought the good fight. I've run my race. I'm ready to go home. And Lord, I just pray that every person here would receive that word, look at their lives, and, you know, get back on the horse if they've gotten off, and just begin to pursue You like they did when they first got saved. None of us want to be like the church that lost their first love. God, we all want to be in the place where You're as real to us today as the first day that we gave our lives to You. So we submit ourselves to You today. And if you're here, if you're listening, and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you can do that right now. It'll be your starting point. How do you do that? You just confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart, that Jesus is Lord. He is the Messiah. He's the one who took my sins. And that God raised Him from the dead. In other words, His price paid the penalty. So now I can be alive in God. So if that's you today, just pray that with your heart. Wherever you are, God will answer it and He'll touch you in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank You again for today. We give You all the praise and all the glory for everything that You've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank You. Hallelujah.